How many believe that's true? Do you have that confidence in your soul that He sees you, knows you, hears you, and is right here with you? He's never failed. He's never going to fail. He knows you. He knows exactly who you are, where you are, when you are, what you are, and what you're feeling and going through. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. I know I'll see you do it again. Breakthrough. I know. You know the biggest enemy of your faith? It's fear. The biggest enemy of your faith is fear. Where you think He's not going to come through, or the obstacles are too big, or He can't, He won't, He doesn't care, He's forgotten, or you've gone too far astray from Him unto that path, thanks Pat, of sand, where Jesus is just saying, okay, hop out of the sand, get back on the right path. He's never failed us. He won't fail you now. Jesus, we thank You for Your cleansing blood, Your grace, Your mercy, Your life. And we thank You that You've got great things in mind for Your people. We might be facing persecution. We might be facing times of difficulty ahead. But we are Your family. And we know that You are in charge. And all the people said, amen. We have a culture of death that we're surrounded by. We have a whole genre of entertainment where they want to terrorize you, fill you with images of horror and slash and murder and burning, and it's all designed to create fear. But God is not the author of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. And sometimes we approach our walk with Jesus full of fear. And Jesus says no. It's time to spring up, oh well. Now, Pat, you can put it up. Spring up, oh well. We've been talking about that the last several weeks, and this morning we're going to talk about healing and revival. Somebody say that with me. Healing and revival. When history becomes His story again. Healing. Revival. Spring up, oh well. 1 John 4, verse 18 declares, there's no fear in love, but perfect love, what? Casts out fear. Casts out fear. Because fear, listen, involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. That word torment in the Greek literally is penal infliction. It means you're in prison. You're bound in prison when you're bound with fear. And the devil wants to keep you bound in fear and in turmoil and in torment to prevent you from receiving His promise, His blessing, His inheritance. The Bible says He's going to bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And kingdom living means we need to embrace what He said, believe what He said, declare what He said, and rise up into what He has said. How many want to live kingdom living in Jesus Christ? Takes a shift. Takes a shift here. And here. And here. Someone say, amen. Go ahead, point at your mouth, say, amen. Many times, guys, what we need to deal with first and foremost is right here. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. But when we are filled with fear, out of here, out of here, out of here comes fear. And instead, we need to say Jesus knows exactly what He's doing. And He is in charge. Say it with me. He is in charge. 11 men with other believers surrounding them were hiding out after a horrific Passover. The blood and the horrible terror and the beatings that occurred on Jesus at Passover were literally horrific, but they produced redemption. The fear of our entertainment system today and the death culture of our entertainment system today does not prove deliverance or produce life. It wants to send you out of the theater chasing demons and afraid you're going to get attacked in the night. Shut it off. Come on, someone say amen or oh no.
Amen.
Shut it off. Fill yourself instead with faith and life and belief. They were hiding, and understandably so. Are we next for crucifixion? Is what happened to Jesus going to happen to us? But resurrection changed everything.
Amen.
Resurrection changed everything. Now, Jesus had breathed on his people, and they went out and did healing and deliverance. It was remarkable. But then he said, I want you to wait in Jerusalem until you be endued or clothed on with power from on high. Right on, Bob? And what happened on the day of Pentecost, 50 years after Passover, 50 days after Passover, was a rushing, mighty wind. Jesus had breathed on them and remarkable things happened. But on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, 4 and following, a rushing, mighty wind came upon them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And a miraculous thing happened in the body of Christ. It was birth and shy condemned Peter, who had denied the Lord, stood up and preached the most convicting message, and 3,000 people got saved. Why? Because he was endued on and clothed upon with the power of the Holy Spirit. And it transformed his life. The church was birthed. They were off and running. How many love being part of the church of Jesus? Come on, you love being part of the church of Jesus? The church isn't the building. Buildings are nice, but the church is his people. Saved by grace, redeemed by his blood, and washed and cleaned. And God was moving on that early church day. And I want to tell you today, bring it home. Believe and breathe faith in Jesus. Not fear. Believe and breathe faith in Jesus. Not fear. Turn in your Bible, would you please, to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. I'm going to read through verses 1 through 9. I don't have it all up here. If you have your phone, you have your tablet, turn over to Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. I'll be reading from the New King James. Acts 3, verses 1 through 9. This is following that rushing mighty wind that came upon the church and that birthed the church in Acts chapter 2. Now we come to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Verses 1 through 9. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, verse 2. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Acts 3, verse 3 now. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. How many know many times our request is too low for what God wants to do? God does above and beyond all we ask or think, and they think John and Peter are going to give them from natural substance, and let's watch what happened. Verse 5. Let's go back to verse 4. I'll get there. After fixing his eyes on him, John, about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes, I'm going to back up and read that again. Who, seeing Peter, verse 3, and John about to go into the temple, this man asked for alms. Verse 4, fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. Verse 5, so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, say it with me, please. Silver and gold I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. How many remember the old song? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He went walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I'm going to give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Hallelujah.
Rise up above your disability. Rise up above the thing that you're discouraged about. Rise up above the thing that you're fearful about. Rise up and walk in Jesus. There's a whole new walk for you in a walk of faith. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them. Walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. How many would imagine? I'll bet he was praising God. I want to ask you this question this morning. Who is inside of you? Who do you have to give away? Acts 5:14-16. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitude of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits. And say it with me, they were a couple of them. They were a few of them. They were all healed. Now wait a minute, Pastor Kevin. I've had prayer plenty of times and I'm not fully healed. Well, we don't build our lives according to our experience. We build it according to His Word. We keep confessing. We keep believing. And we keep praying. And we keep believing. And we keep understanding. And there's no sin to go to a doctor. Sometimes it takes time. Other times it's instant. But we keep believing that God is able. Amen? We keep praying that God is able. We keep prophesying that God is able. We keep preaching that God is able. And we keep encouraging the people of God in a walk of faith. How many remember when David and Jonathan were wrestling about David being killed potentially by Saul? And there came a day when David looked at Jonathan and he said, "Your dad's out to get me." And Jonathan said, "Nah, can't be." And they worked out an arrangement where David would hide out by a rock in a certain field. And Jonathan, once he found out what his dad would do, would take a little lad with him and he would shoot an arrow over by the rocks where David was. And if he shot it short, he would say, what? What would he say? Come back. If he shot it long, what was it? You better go long. You better run. And he shot just beyond where David was hiding. And it began a life of very interesting realities for David. But it's what it took to get David to come into his kingship. David had to go through all sorts of experiences, and sometimes the Lord shoots that arrow just beyond where we are to see if we will continue to walk with Him through the difficulties and learn. Can you embrace that this morning?
Yes.
Come on, few people more say amen or oh no.
Amen.
Jesus is the healer, you guys. It's not us. It's not the person. We just obey Him and pray for people. But Jesus is the healer. When Jesus raised from the dead, it changed His believers, His disciples, forever. And when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they had the explosive, dynamic, dunamis power of God in their life, and they came away from that with confidence. When the Holy Spirit moves in your life, you come away with confidence. Amen, Vern? Vern turned into a preacher by the grace and power of God. Came up to the microphone, I didn't need to call 911, it was great. The Holy Spirit moves in our lives and He fills us with confidence. They begin to breathe new air and they begin to ride new air of faith and new air streams, and they begin to soar like eagles on a new wind, the wind of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about soaring through squawking. Soaring through squawking. Have you ever experienced a great time in the Lord and us to have it slapped down when you step out of the building?
Yeah.
You go out of the building, had a great time in the presence of the Lord, all of a sudden somebody yells at you, the car tries to cut you off, or your spouse yells at you, or you yell at your spouse, or something happens, you get a phone call, it's full of distress, and all of a sudden you leak out all the joy you came out with. Somebody shot a hole in my canister and it leaked it all out. Did that happen? Come on. Ever been snatched away? Ever had that life snatched away? Ever been screeched at, squawked at by the taunts of the devil and condemnation that says, you're no good, you can't do that, full of shame, you're not so good. They saw you smiling in church, but they don't know what you're really living like at home. There are natural lessons I want to teach you for just a moment that give us great spiritual truth. Soaring through squawking. Isaiah 40 verse 31 is a powerful verse. Isaiah 40, 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And that word literally means shall change or exchange their strength. If you come in with little strength and you wait upon the Lord, you leave and exchange. You give your weakness to Him and receive His strength and you go out brand new. How do you like that transaction? Amen. They shall exchange their strength. They shall mount up with wings as what?
Eagles.
Eagle saints arise. Mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Jesus calls us to fly and soar like eagles. Eagles are majestic. Birds and raptors. Birds of prey. I was reading quite a bit about birds. And you know, there's really no predator that comes after the eagle. Do you know that? Except man who shoots them down every now and then. They have a powerful wingspan. They're truly majestic in flight. Do you know when an eagle is soaring, it's usually going between 35 and 45 miles an hour, just gliding. But when it's diving for its prey, ever watched an eagle dive for a salmon? We watch it right outside of our house all the time. When it is diving, it is 75 to 100 miles an hour. That eagle. Glorious to watch. They perch on a tree right outside our living room window. It's the coolest thing. What's really been interesting is, call me funny, but the Lord will use natural things to sometimes speak to our hearts. And I always consider, my wife and I consider it an absolutely powerful time in the Lord to see a bald eagle, this huge mammoth bald eagle, land in this little spindly tree right out in front of our home, right by the waterfront. And we have had experiences where we've had a powerful time with Jesus or hungry for a sense of His presence. Give us a sign, Lord, and a massive eagle will land right on that spindly tree. And we have watched as it turns and looks right at us and has sat there for hours. And we go, whoa. You know, call me funny, but I look at that and go, man, thanks, Jesus, for the sign. At the same time as I'm saying, thanks for this glorious, beautiful bird. But I'll tell you something else I've seen. It's the funniest thing. Because they have a problem. And the problem is squawking, ugly, loud, obnoxious, attacking crows. Have you ever seen that? The massive, glorious eagles sitting there, and all of a sudden, a couple of yappy, black little crows who are just little blackbirds, and they're just hassling. You'll see it with seagulls, too. And then they come, and they land on the branch, and then they dive down on this branch. The eagle's standing there, sitting there gloriously, and they squawk, and they squawk, and they squawk, and they squawk. And all of a sudden, this massive eagle gets up and flies away. Now, you and I both know that if that eagle wanted to, he could reach out with his talon and go, "You're history." Yeah. But it's hard for him to do because he's built for flight. Not necessarily the little hassles along the way. Now, listen, God built you for flight. Not to get bogged down in all the little hassles along the way that the devil and his demons want to get you involved in. The Bible tells us little foxes spoil the vines in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. What are the little foxes? Little problems come along, snap at your vine, eat the grapes, eat the fruit, make you think you're being hassled and harried, and these little crows come around squawking at this majestic eagle until he finally lifts off in flight, because the eagle's not going to hassle with the little yappy crows. He's built for flight.
Hallelujah.
Interesting. Interesting. Now, by the way, over here, do you know what that's called? When they gang up on that eagle, that's called a mobbing of crows. They're mobbing the big predator. Now, they do it for a reason, to protect their young usually, and for other reasons. They're protecting their territory. By the way, when you wage spiritual warfare as a majestic eagle of God in the presence of the Lord, how many know you're going to get snapping little demons that don't want to give up their territory? In Vietnam, you got some snapping demons that don't want to give up their territory. Right here in Port Ludlow and Port Hadlock, Port Townsend, all the ports in the storm around here in Squim and Port Hadlock, everywhere else, there are those who don't want to give up the spirit of Antichrist to receive a revival in Jesus Christ. But you take authority over that as eagle saints. But sometimes there's a mobbing. By the way, do you know what this many crows is called?
A murder.
They are a murder of crows. Very apropos. Strap in your seatbelts. A murder of crows. It's a powerful thing. The devil is a thief and a liar. And he wants to steal your life and murder the forward progress. He wants to murder you. He wants to bog you down in the sand instead of leaping, jumping, and praising God. Instead of being able to soar in eagle flight. Mobbing birds, a murder of crows. The devil will come, he will harass, he will turmoil. He will cause a mob of problems in order to murder your spiritual life, and the devil will squawk at you when you are especially taking flight. Now, I'm going to be real graphic with you. Vern encouraged me not to be, but I'm going to do it anyway. Not only will those birds, he was smiling when he said it. Not only will those little birds peck at you, and if they can bring down an eagle, they'll try. But you know, I read a fascinating story. Now, I want you to hang in here with me. Those little birds will vomit all over the eagle, and they do it with very specific projectile vomit, and they'll also poop on the eagle. That's part of it. Well, you might not want to say that. I'm sorry. It's done. It's said. Okay? And what do you think the devil wants to do with you? And sometimes that eagle needs to land and get cleaned up before it can fly again, because it's covered with the filth of the little squawking crows. Sometimes, guys, that's what happens in our life. You get full of shame and condemnation, and the devil's come along and he's done his business on you, and you feel yucky, and you got to get clean through the blood of Jesus. So you come back to church and you get washed by the water of the Word, and you get filled with the Spirit in a fresh way, and you understand, I'm clean through the blood of Jesus. I can fly again by the power of the Holy Spirit. Someone say amen. Amen. Raise your hands, you soaring eagles. Clean through the blood of Jesus. Isn't that descriptive of what the devil does?
Yeah.
To knock us out of God's flight. And the eagle, most of the time, just flies on. Just flies on. Recognize the tactics of the devil. The devil is a thief. He wants to steal your provision. He wants to steal away from you the insight God has given you. He wants to neutralize your practice in Jesus. He wants to neutralize and snatch away the good fruit you bear in your walk with Jesus. The devil is a thief. Secondly, the devil is a liar. He's going to shame you and throw lies and deceit at you. He's going to tell you you're not worthy, but it's not based on you and me. It's based on the blood of Jesus. He doesn't want you to believe the word of God. I'm going to say it again with even more strength. The devil does not want you and me to believe the word of God. But let's choose something different. I believe God's word. Yes. The scripture says, I believe it'll be as it was told me. Come on, say that with me. I believe it will be as it was told me. The devil is a murderer. He wants to take your life, now listen, before its end date. Now, not everyone who dies has gone early. The Lord has different purposes. I know. I was married to 24 years to the finest Christian I've ever known in my entire life. And my wife would tell you the same thing. And the Lord took her home. We fought every warfare there was to fight. And some of you have lost spouses, but our loss is heaven's gain. And I just figure Gail, who had a wonderful heart for children, was called home to clean up the nursery in heaven. But the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. That's true, but not a minute before God's time. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Jesus' provision at the cross and resurrection is life. And I want you to listen to the word of God. Now listen. On the cross, Jesus said these words. It is finished. Come on, proclaim it. It is finished. Tetelestai. It's done. It's over. The debt's paid in full. The provision is given. It is all done. And I'm here to tell you that healing is one of the provisions that he gave at the cross of Calvary. I want you to watch the word of God. 1 Peter 2:24. He who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Please say it with me. By whose stripes you
were healed.
I'm sorry, what was that word?
Word.
What was that word?
Healed.
Come on, stand up, Bob, declare that word. What was it again?
Word.
Were healed. By his stripes, you were healed. That literally means, in the Greek, cured, healed, made whole. Yes, from unrighteousness and sin. Absolutely. Brothers, provision includes our strength and our healing in all ways, body, soul, and spirit. Now you go, Pastor Kev, I'm not walking in all of that. No, we all have a lot more to walk in terms of his provision, right? There's provision and what? Our practice. And our practice needs to match his provision, and that's the process of growth, right? He's changing our mind. He's changing our heart. He's teaching us how to understand his word and live in his word. But I'm going to tell you something really strong, and I'm going to say it really strong. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry, but this is the conviction of the word of God. There are some who will teach you that the moving of the Holy Spirit and healing power and all of these things ceased when the apostles died. That is error. That is not the word of God. Those are cessationists. We do not believe in cessationism. We believe in continuism. Come on, continuism. The Holy Spirit continued to move just like he did before. And we passed through all sorts of eons of ages in the body of Christ where we've seen the healing power and we've seen his life move. And there's other times where we've seen periods of darkness. I'm going to talk about the 19th century. I've done it again, or the 20th century, right? 902, rather, to 1906 was Azusa Street. A mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Pentecostal churches, Assembly of God, they were all birthed out of that move that happened right there at Azusa Street in California. A move of God that spread like fire around the earth. It wasn't just a revival. It was an outpouring of God. Azusa Street. Later, 1948, Saskatchewan, Canada, at a Rose of Sharon Bible School, there were some students seeking Jesus saying, if this in Acts happened then, why can't it happen now? And they were beginning to be met by the Spirit of God. The baptism of the Holy Spirit fell on them. They had the sign of speaking in tongues. Prophecy prophecy, etc. And people began to fly in to Canada to go to these meetings, and they were moved on by the power of the Holy Spirit, and praise and worship was restored in the body of Christ, raising hands that hadn't happened much, demonstrative Davidic worship where people would clap and stand, and healing power and presbytery and prophecy and all of these kinds of things were restored with a fresh emphasis to the body of Christ. Continuationists. Then we come to 1967, and one of the major moves of God that's ever happened throughout the world in history, the charismatic movement, was birthed out of those who had birthed the latter rain movement. Not Latter-day Saints, but the latter rain movement, based on the scripture where it says the Spirit of God will be poured out on that latter day as the former rain and the latter rain together, referring to their agricultural calendar. It was a powerful, powerful move. Some of us were swept up into the Spirit of the Lord in those early charismatic days. And oh my, you know, you're all sitting here so quiet. I was a punk kid. Holes in my jeans and long hair as long as my parents would let me get away with growing it. And after I graduated from high school, I turned to them and said, "Now I'm growing my hair long." And Jesus saved me in a revival in the north end of Seattle at my high school, birthed out of the charismatic movement, and hundreds of kids saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and my life changed forever. The fire began to roar in my soul that by the power of the Spirit and the grace of God, I have never been able to put out, thank God.
Hallelujah.
Though I know I've made some wrong choices, in my heart of hearts and in the soul of souls and in the burning fire within my soul, I've never been able to get too far away from Him. And the Holy Spirit says, "You need to repent and come back home." And I say, "Okay, God, I surrender to You. I want Your moving, oh God, in my life." And I went to a church, and Charlotte Baker was birthed out of the 48 revival, and she was the preacher at a place called King's Temple. And we used to sit for hours and take notes, because church wasn't a 30-minute message. We had 2 or 3 hours where we were like in Bible school every day. So did you come prepared? No, but there was such a hunger in our hearts. Teach me Your way, oh God. Write Your word on my heart and mind. And I knew I was supposed to go to WSU. And they said, "You need to go look up this dentist and his wife who have this meeting in their home." And I met him. And stayed. And now I'm married to her. The gift of God to my life. Amen. Thank you, honey. Walked in that door and we were chatting. And one of my favorite Bible teachers of all time was Bob Umford. I know there were some excesses in the Fort Lauderdale move, but one of the most powerful teachers in the body of Christ, he would make you laugh your head off while the Holy Spirit would just slide His knife in right under your ribs in conviction. And I said, "Oh God, all I want to do is change the world. All I want to do is be what You want me to be. All I want to do is see You move in the body of Christ. And all I want to do is see You sweep this earth with Your glory as the waters cover the sea. All I want to do is see Your fresh move." And today I stand before You in 2019, and I don't want to go back to the charismatic move. But oh God, aren't we ready for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Oh God, I want to see people saved, and young people saved, and families saved, and old people saved, and people in between. I want to see us saved and filled with the Spirit, and I want to see God move again, and people get up out of their wheelchairs, and people be healed, and blind eyes see. And He's still doing it today. I don't define the Word of God by my experience.
That's right.
My experience needs to conform to the Word of God. So if I'm not dramatically healed today, okay, I don't walk away from God in bitterness. I say, "Okay, Lord, I don't get it. I don't know, but I know You're in charge. So I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep praying. And I'm going to not let the devil, who's a liar, a thief, and a murderer, stop me from soaring like an eagle. To Telestai, it's finished. Give me 10 minutes more. At the end of that time, I might ask you for a half hour. No, I want to talk about something. You may not know all the history, and I want you to really hear this. The healing revival movement began about 1946 and powerfully went through the 1950s. People that aren't talked about much anymore. On that side, moving over to this side, is Young Brown. Next to him, Jack Moore. In the middle is a man named William Branham. Now, William Branham went off into teaching some error-filled things toward the end of his message, but you have never seen or heard a more remarkable sense and understanding of the Holy Spirit than through this man. Legitimately, he would sit in major conferences or major gatherings, and he would look at a person, and he would literally almost read their mail. He'd look at Bob, if it was the Holy Spirit talking about it, and he'd say, your address is this address, the color of your house is this color, and it would be right on, and a dramatic healing would take place. There's a picture I'm going to show you in a moment of a meeting in Tacoma, packed out room with people on stretchers as he would pray, and there were healing revivals that occurred, and next to William Branham is Oral Roberts, and you will remember Oral Roberts, and Gordon Lindsay is next to him. Also, there was Jack Cole and A.A. Allen and T.L. Osborne, and tent meetings began to go all across our nation and around the world. Evangelism and miracles occurred by the multitude. Now, Gordon Lindsay, the one on this end, began a conference because many times the Assembly of God Church rejected these people. Go ahead and show the picture in Tacoma. That's a Tacoma gathering where hungry people were coming for the move of the Spirit in their stretchers. I know it's hard to see, but that was William Branham teaching in that meeting and sharing in that meeting. Now we'll go on to Gordon Lindsay. And Gordon Lindsay was that man in the picture that you saw, and he was a prolific writer. And he began a conference and an organization to gather Spirit-filled men and women of God who had come through the Latter Rain movement, who had come through that experience of the healing revivals. And he gathered them together in an organization that is now known as the Fellowship Network. And that's where we belong, to the Fellowship Network. He was a prolific writer and evangelist as well as educator, and he began to print a publication called The Voice of Healing. In 1971, The Voice of Healing became known as Christ for the Nations. How many have ever heard of that? They've sent tens of thousands of people around the world. Before them, there's a man named John G. Lakes. How many have ever heard of John G. Lakes? The Healing Rooms birthed their movement through John G. Lakes. He was in Spokane. He was in Portland. He went to South Africa. And renowned man of God. Now, I'm going to tell you that the word that is spoken about him that cannot be fully proven, but there were hundreds and thousands of miracles that took place through this man's ministry. He was in Spokane from 1914 until 1935, and it is said that under his ministry, there were fully 100,000 documented healings. It is also said the United States government declared Spokane, because of his presence in that city, the healthiest city in the world. Regardless of whether or not it can all be proved, thousands of miracles took place. And in Tacoma and in Seattle, churches and ministries were birthed and revival hit. And oh God, we cry out for your outpouring today. Come on, we cry out, Lord, for your outpouring today. And God still wants to heal His people today and baptize in the Spirit today. We may not see the tents, but in the late 80s, we had a man named John Wimber, the top left corner. John Wimber started the Vineyard Churches. Now, John Wimber, when he was younger, was the manager. In fact, he sang and played piano for a little while for a duo called the Righteous Brothers. Anybody ever heard of them? And the Righteous Brothers. And he was dramatically saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and began to move in ministry. In about the 80s, there was an earthquake earthquaking revelation that came through his ministry to the body of Christ, which is, you don't always have to have the healing evangelist up front praying for you. The whole body of Christ can minister healing to one another. I'm telling you, that wasn't a minor thing. That was a huge shift that occurred. And the Vineyard churches birthed John and Carol Arnett up in Toronto, Canada. And up here on the top, you see the Vineyard Airport where the Toronto blessing occurred. Yeah, some people heard about abuses, but you don't throw the whole revival out because some people may go into excess in an area. You thank God for his visitation, but God visits imperfect people. And so sometimes imperfect people do a few things they shouldn't.
Absolutely.
Very quiet in here. Anybody in here imperfect yet? Oh, come on, turn to each other and say, you do it too. So the Vineyard, and then we had the Brownsville revival, if you recall. Absolutely powerful, powerful move of God. And I'm telling you, as your pastor, the Word of God does not say it stopped. As your pastor, I believe in the power of the Word of God, and I believe the Holy Spirit is real, and I believe we need Him more today than ever. Amen. And I'm crying out to God for an outpouring of His presence and revival to hit like we've never seen. Above all, I want you to know that it's Jesus who does the healing. We appropriate His provision. And as we come to Him with hunger and love and faith and trust, we can believe God and we can continue to pray and believe that we'll see His Spirit move. Spring up, O well. Spring up, O well. Isaac redug his father's will, recovering the truths of the body of Christ and the Word of God. Spring up, O well, with healing, revival. So history becomes His story again. Now I'm going to ask you this morning, if you have a need in your life, in your body, I'm going to ask us all to stand. Let's go ahead and stand if you would. You go, Pastor Kev, why isn't everybody healed? I don't know. I just know we're going to keep praying. We're going to keep believing. Sometimes it's the faith of the person who needs to be stirred. Sometimes there's a time for healing and anointing on the people that are preaching. And sometimes there, I don't know. All I know is keep believing, church. Keep believing. Now with every eye closed, I'd like to see the show of hands who need God to heal them and their bodies. That is most of the people in the room. You can open up your eyes and put your hands down. Jesus wants to do something remarkable and powerful for you this morning. And I'm going to lead us in prayer. Then I'm going to turn you to one another to pray for each other, because this is not just exclusively a ministry of the pastor. This is a ministry of the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit has filled you and enabled you. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you probably think we're a bunch of crazy loud people, or at least the pastor is. If you're saved and you haven't had the Holy Spirit filling, the Lord will meet you today with that. Come for prayer. If you're not saved and the Lord hasn't changed your life yet, but you need Him to do so, come give your life to Jesus. But if you need healing, what I'm going to ask you to do is one more time, raise your hands and follow me in prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to you now. And I state my belief. I believe your word is true. I believe you are Lord of lords. I believe you're King of kings. And I believe you're here today. And right now by faith, I rebuke the devil in Jesus' name. I rebuke a spirit of affliction. I curse it. I cast it out. And right now by faith, I receive your healing power. And I trust you, Lord, to do this for me. Lord, right now I respond to you in faith. Go ahead and praise him. Thank you for your cleansing blood. I thank you for your power, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you hear our prayers. Go ahead, declare your praise. I thank you that you hear our prayers, and you're the God who does all things well. I trust you. I believe you, Lord, and I thank you. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you do all things well, and you do above and beyond all that we ask or think. Now, for those of you who want to come up and receive prayer right here, you're welcome to do so. Otherwise, I encourage you to turn to one another, lay hands gently, as the Bible said, especially women for women, men for men, or spouses. That's fine. But I encourage you to pray for one another and believe Jesus wants to heal. He wants to heal. So stir up your most holy faith and trust that the Word of God is true. Can you do that this morning? Go ahead, just turn to one another and begin to pray for one another as we experience His presence in this house in this way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And if you finish praying for each other, go join yourself to others in the room to pray for them as we believe God to do something significant this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We trust and believe you, Lord Jesus. We trust and believe you, Lord. We thank you for the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We believe you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now we speak the word. We speak the word of healing, the word of life, the word of the power of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God, as we go from this place, that He's heard our prayers and that He sees your heart and mine, and that He's a God who does above and beyond all that we ask or think. Let's make sure our mouths conform to His word. It doesn't mean you can't acknowledge an issue, but we don't walk around declaring ill health. We walk around declaring our healing power in Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day together, and we pray you will strengthen your people as they go from this place. Thank you for the time we've had in worship and in the Word. And Lord, even as we are on this Memorial Weekend, we thank you, Lord, for those who have gone before us and given their lives for us. And most of all, we thank you for you for doing that for us. Now raise your hands for the blessing, if you would, please. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, they all said,
Amen.
Be released. Have a fantastic day in the Lord. Amen.